things out of it. Like, it's a new year, so well, another new year's down. 2021 was a tough year. We had inflation. We had more restrictions due to COVID. Travel bans, mask mandates, vaccines, and I could keep on going. People quit working. Many work from home. Woke came full circle. Illegal immigration invasion in our country this year. More government control, freedom of speech, censorship. Loved ones passed away. Divorces took place. Many stopped going to church. Many stopped going to recovery groups, my friend told me. AA and NA. Nobody going to them anymore. It was a rough year again last year. But on the good side, many that were sick recovered. Our finances did keep us afloat. People got married. Babies were born. People got promotion. People graduated. Some people came back to church. Our kids' club, right here at home, started back up. Down for a whole year. And we have kids. And our chapel is still open. And people are involved. And we had our 130th Congress. It still kept going. And our 131st will be Ray Gonzalez, Lord willing. New goals for the new year. And almost everyone tries to set goals for a new year. They lose weight. They exercise. I work for Powerhouse, and they told me they sell as many memberships in January as they do all year. That's what Will told me. It's their big year. Others try to make more money. Some try to work less. Spend time at home. Those are goals. Stop spending money loosely. That's been my goal. Let's see now. What's been my goal? Let's see. Stop coping. Going on 27 years. Yep. Trying to do that goal for about 27 years. Some are trying to save for retirement. Buying retirement homes. Downsizing. And the list goes on and on. Setting new improvement goals are always beneficial. These are all great things if we have time. And that is the problem with everything. Time. As Terry Henning said in a Bible study, which I'll never forget, we live like we're going to live 1,000 years. And that was so good that I filed it in the archive. And there's a lot of junk in the archive. That's the problem we have. We have a problem with time. And we are all facing eternity. But the problem is, what are we spending the limited time we have preparing for? Are we preparing for the present? Are we preparing for retirement or eternity? And as we face another new year, we need to ask ourselves one important question. What am I going to do this year with the little time I have left on earth? And I'm going to tell you where this came from. I'm working for a morgue right now. And it was pretty interesting. And I was talking to the owner, and he was telling me that he's very, very busy. He picks up between 40 and 60 people a day. And he says, you know, Dan, I'm just a sliver in the business. He's just a small guy. He said that Wayne County had 26,000 deaths last year. I was telling my son-in-law this, and him and I looked it up, and there's 108,000 people that die in the world in 1 minute. 108,000 people in 1 minute. That's staggering. Those odds, you don't see them on the gambling sites at Caesar. They are against you. And that is just crazy. So that got me, I got to admit, that got me thinking about my own life. And I don't think this guy's a saved guy. He said this to me. Death happens more than people realize. And he told me that, and I'm looking at this guy, and I talked to him earlier, and I'm thinking, I don't think this guy's a saved guy. He said, death happens more than people realize it does. And I said, I will admit, this got me thinking about my own life. My own eternal portfolio. Will 2022 be my last year in competing in this race down here? Or will it be yours? That's a big question we've got to face. There are two races we can choose this year to be in. The rat race, which has rewards. They're perishable rewards, the Bible says. You can get houses, you can get money, you can get this, you can get that. And those are all things you need to live on. But the focus is what the Bible talks about. It doesn't say those things are bad. It's the focus. The rat race. It will bring perishable crowns. Cars, houses, they're gone. Or the heavenly race, which will bring imperishable crowns. Reigning with the Lord, storing your treasures in heaven, setting your affections on things above, not on the things of the earth. And that is a choice we face and we make daily, yearly. I like New Year's resolutions because I've stuck with a few. I quit smoking once. I've done a lot of things. I did a New Year's resolution 30 years ago, told my wife when we were young, I said, in my mind, when the ball was going down, I go, I'm going to make every single meeting of the church. This is 30 years ago. You can do it. Today it snowed, and I saw Miriam Wilkie come to church. Well, my wife and I said, well, it's pretty bad out there. We don't think Miriam Wilkie could probably make it in this snow. She's the first one here. And I thought, oh, my goodness gracious, boy. What a testimony. I was thinking, all these guys with the four-wheel drives, you know, you better be here, if Miriam Wilkie. So running the race, that's what the message is about, running the race. And our text today will be in two texts. The first one is 1 Corinthians 9:24. 1 Corinthians 9:24, the Apostle Paul, early in his life. And we'll read 24 through 29. The second one will be in 2 Timothy 4. 1 Corinthians 9:24-27. Do you not know that those who run a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run this way, not with certainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. This is Paul, Apostle Paul saying that he himself could become disqualified. So that ought to bring your antennas up if Paul's saying it. He's the only one in the Bible that says, if you want to be like Christ, follow me. He says he could be disqualified. Paul, in a lot of his teaching, uses athletic metaphors, such as running and boxing, like this one. In his time, they had events which are equivalent to, like, our Olympics. It was called the Is-Me-In. I had a hard time saying it. So it's Is-I-S-Me-In. Is-Me-In games. That's how you say it. There was only one winner in the Is-Me-In games. It's an excellent study to do the Is-Me-In games. But we don't got time for that. I'll summarize it real quick. So, this trainers that trained for this Is-Me-In game, we'll call it the Olympics, it was vigorous. Got it? And only one person won. And they trained all year for it. But if they won, they received the crown, but they received this. They didn't have to work anymore for the rest of their lives. Neither did their families. Their families all got free education. They sat in the royal places of everywhere they went. and in the Isthmian Games, front place for the rest of their life and their family. So this example he's using is an excellent example now that you know why he uses it. So that's what he's trying to say. In verse 24, he reminds us that in an actual event, only one can win the race and receive the prize. So each one of us needs to run the race to win the race. That's the goal. We have to run the race to win the race, not run the race to participate in the race. We want to win the race. Verse 25, everyone who competes for the prize needs to practice self-discipline. This is what Paul said. They need to train hard like an athlete. They need to eat right. They abstain from things. And we, too, must train our bodies and our minds in the things of God. And that's what he's trying to teach us. But these runners, Paul says, do it for a perishing crown. The word crown here is stephanos. It was a crown. It was made of ivory and weaved in stuff, and that's what the winner would receive, and he would put it on his head. But Paul calls it a perishing crown. It shrivels after time. It fades away. We as Christians are in a race to receive a crown that never perishes. And that's what he's doing with two examples of. We are treated as royalty if we win the race. No more hard work. No more training. And the Bible says those who are faithful to the end will enter into his rest. It's a special reward place for those who are faithful. We see the children of Israel who were not faithful, they did not enter into his rest. Rest is not heaven and hell. Rest is a place where Paul's described royalty, ruling and reigning with Christ. Resting from your hard work and your enemies. The devil, because you have been in a vigorous battle down here. Paul says this in verse 26, therefore, since he lays out these little options, I run with a clear mind. I stay focused with a clear goal in sight. He uses the metaphor of a boxer now in a ring. A boxer cannot win a fight if it just punches the air. If it shadow boxes, it can't win a fight. You have to land your punches on an opponent. And Paul is very clever in his teaching. He realizes that he himself is the opponent. He himself is the only one that can disqualify him from the race. So he uses that metaphor as a boxer. His own fleshly body is what he needs to beat him in shape. And that's what we need. Verse 27, look what he says. But rather, I'm landing punches on my own body. And he disciplines his own body. Paul disciplines his whole body, his whole mind, for the things of the Lord. So he himself will not be disqualified. That's probably the word you're seeing in your King James, or your New King James. Or you're seeing the word castaway. Me and Dave were talking about translations a few minutes ago. But that's not a good translation, disqualified. The word comes from the Greek word adokimos, which means disapproved. And we see the word approved, documents, in 2 Timothy. Study to show thyself approved. We know that one. That's the Awana thing. That's the word adokimos. That's the word documents, excuse me. It's like our English word. When we put the letter A in front of a word, it reverses the meaning of the word. Like, theist is a person who believes in God. When we put the A in front of it, it's atheist, a person that does not believe in God. So it reverses the order in which it's really intended for. And that's the proper translation of this word. It should not be cast away. It should not be disqualified. It should be the opposite of study thyself to show thyself approved. Documents, the opposite of that is a document. Disapproved. That's the proper translation. for reading this passage. So Paul does these things so he will not be disapproved. Remember, the imagery in this metaphor is crowns, winning a prize, and it's all leading us to the Bema seat, the judgment seat of Christ. He's writing to believers in Corinth. They're not unbelievers, they're believers. Paul himself says he trains his body. He beats his body. He makes his body like a boxer, like a triathlon guy. So he is not disapproved on that day when he is standing in front of the guy who hands him the perishable crown. So that's the metaphors he's using. Paul could be disapproved at the judgment seat. When we live our lives, we want to receive that victor's crown from Jesus. And we want to hear these words: "Well done, faithful servant." It's not easy down here to be a disciple for the Lord. It's simple to be a Christian. We believe in Jesus. We have everlasting life. Simple. But to be a victor for Christ, Jesus says the opposite. Pick up your cross daily and follow. Well, they knew what a cross was back in the day. Okay? It was very different. The Romans would crucify people for miles. That sent a message. You mess with Rome, this is what happens to you. So they were like, whoa, crucify myself daily? So the impact there is that culture was a staggering impact. People didn't want to go that route. They knew it was difficult. So we see Paul in his early life. This is early in Paul's life. He's in the race, just like you and I are right now. And he says that he has to do these particular things, lead his members into submission, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, make your calling and election sure. These are all Bible verses that mean the same thing. So when he stands in front of the Lord at the judgment seat, he is not disapproved. He wants to hear, "Well done, a good and faithful servant." He's using this metaphor of this current day guy who wins this race, and the next year it's another guy that wins it, takes off in eternity. Takes off the rest of his life with royalty, a position of reigning, a position of prestige, a position where people look at Steve Filoni, who won the Indian race last year, and said, "Man, that guy won the race. It's not easy. This race is tough. It's complicated. But we can do it. And we are doing it." He's not saying they are disqualified. Remember, he's telling them, "Let's go. This is how we stay on track. We came here today in a snowstorm. Okay? You're on track. And we're going to stay on track." And that's what Paul said early in his Christian life, that he could be disapproved. Probably. 2 Timothy, for our second text. 2 Timothy 2. Later on now, we're in Paul's later years of his Christian life. Been through a lot. Been shipwrecked. Been stoned to death a few times. Been shipwrecked 3 times. Beaten, starved, hungry, shaken, scared, hungry, felt hopeless. And here we are. Paul's in a prison right now, facing execution. And he knows it. He's not getting out. He has had this guy named Timothy, his right-hand man. He's discipled this young dude for one reason only: to take over. You always got to disciple somebody to take over. I was discipled by my dad, so was Ray by his dad and my dad, and it was how we got here. So it takes a lot of work to disciple people. It takes patience. It takes God's heart. So here he is later in 2 Timothy, about to die. This is for Timothy and for us. 2 Timothy 4, 6 through 8. "For I am already being poured out," this is Paul speaking, "as as a drink offering. Paul is awaiting his execution and now lays his life as a role model for Timothy, who he is instructing to take over his position. A drink offering. Doesn't sound too... We don't really know what that is, because that's a Jewish thing, and they would have a certain offering called the drink offering. They'd have an animal on the flame, and it would be smoked, and pour water on it, and just bring the big smoke. And Paul's saying this in his later life. My life has been a drink offering. When I pour the water on it, and the vapors come up, you don't see Paul. I want you to see the offering. That's why he could say, if you want to be like Jesus, follow me. Paul says that. His life was a drink offering. And check this out. He goes, and the time of my departure is at hand. He knows he's going to die. Listen, look at this Christian mind that he has. Remember, he was afraid many times. He treats his death as an aviation term. But he's like he's boarding a plane, and he's taking off, and he's going to return. That's his attitude. My life and my departure is at hand. What a way to look at life. I'm going on a plane, I'm out of here, but I'm coming back. And that's exactly how we should be. It's not easy when people pass. But we got to remember, we're Christians. This is not our home. Our home is with Jesus. And that's what Paul said to Timothy. I'm getting on a plane, and I'm taking off. I'm going to die. What wonderful words he says to Timothy. How encouraging. He says this, I have fought the good fight. Paul says he has fulfilled his ministry as a model for Timothy and for all of us to follow. The Apostle Paul, this is a man who was a Pharisee. You know what a Pharisee is? It's a religious person, a fruit inspector. They lived by the law. This guy here lived by the law. It only had one flaw in the law, and that was coveting. Okay? So, these guys looked like really righteous dudes. And they had prestige lives, being a Pharisee. He was about ready to be the head of the Sanhedrin. He left it all to follow this Jesus, who his own people said, we will not let this man reign over. Let his blood be upon us and our children's children. He stuck his head out and followed him. Gave his whole life. He says, I have kept the faith. Interesting. This has been said the whole Christian experience. Which I used to think that. But I don't think that means anything. It's like a doctrinal truth. But I believe it's more talking about the gospel. Because remember, Paul was a Pharisee. Look at Galatians 1:6. If you don't want to, I'll just read it. This is NIV, I'm reading this time. I am astonished that you, he's writing to Galatian believers, born-again Christians. Remember, these churches he's writing to, they're all believers. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ. Make sure you underline that word. The grace of Christ. Not the works and the law. And you are turning to a different gospel. Folks, when you are in a gospel that is outside of the grace of God, and whoever believes in me shall not perish but has everlasting life, you are in a different gospel, whether you're born again or not. And this is what Paul had to deal with. Fighting the good fight and keeping the faith. which is really no gospel at all. Eventually, some people are throwing you into confusion, and you are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preached of you, let them be under God's curse, as we have said already. So now we're going to say it again. In case you didn't hear what I said to you the first time, I'm going to say it to you again and tell these Galatians. If any man or an angel preaches another gospel to you than the gospel which we have preached, the apostles and Paul, let him be under God's curse. Let him be under God's wrath. So, you see, sometimes Dan gets real passionate about the gospel. These are the reasons why. I'm called, and you're called, to fight the faith. Because these people out here, I don't care what commentary they have, how big their assemblies are, how many people follow them. Is their gospel the gospel according to Jesus Christ? This is a free grace church, folks. Look at the two passages. Verily I say unto you, he who heareth my word and believes on him that sent me has everlasting life. He loved the world so much that whosoever believes in him has everlasting life. That's the gospel Paul's talking about. Paul says that he has kept the faith. The faith, he in the midst of this grace alone, faith alone message, which he has fought for and kept his faith in the midst of Judaizers, legalists, in the midst of mystics, intellectuals he had to deal with, he kept strong to that faith. People don't want to hear that if you believe in Jesus, you have everlasting life the moment you believe it in him. Because they're so programmed to do some kind of a work about it. I was there. That's the facts, Paul's saying. The problem is accountability to the Christian. Once you read the Bible correctly, once you have everlasting life, and you want to be in heaven in a reigning and ruling position, you got to cross the door. If we suffer with Christ, we shall reign with Christ. If you don't, you don't. You're still in heaven, but you're not the winner of the Isthmian race. This is Paul later in his life. Earlier, it was the beginning of his life. I could be disapproved. Here he goes in this verse. I have finished the race. This is the race he started back in 1 Corinthians. He has successfully finished it, but it wasn't easy. Look what Paul says. Finally. I finished the race. Finally, he says, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness. Finally. Look at Paul's life. It wasn't easy. We don't all have to be. But we have to do what Paul says in these two chapters. He's writing to the Corinthians, and he's writing to Timothy. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness. This is a judgment seat portion of Scripture, along with the other. You're sitting on the Bema seat in front of the Lord. You're going to hear certain things. Everybody's going to be there. Except for those who are not saved. Check it out. Which the Lord, the righteous judge, the Lord Jesus, he's the righteous one. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. There's no wishy-washy political games with Jesus on the judgment seat of Christ, folks. He is the righteous judge, and he will judge righteously. We which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. That day. That's a day where everyone will make it there. All Christians. Whether they have a snowstorm, a rainstorm, coronavirus, COVID, Akron, whatever you want to call it. They're going to be there on that day. On that day, he says. Jesus is the righteous judge. He will be the judge on the judgment seat. On that day, we will all have our spot on the judgment seat. Remember, Jesus is our example. He was on the judgment seat, too, in front of Pilate. And what did they say several times? Pilate said, he is a picture of us in front of him. Pilate said these words, in case you didn't know, I find no fault in this man. Again, I say, I find no fault in this man. That's how we live. That's what it means to be a Christian. That word Christian is a derogatory term in the Bible. It's not a nice word. It's been loosely used throughout this Christian heritage. It means to be a follower of Jesus, a cross bearer, a person that abides in his word daily. So Paul says he's finally finished the race, and after a race that took much agony, Paul, pain and self-discipline, Paul has completed the race. He has won not a crown that will shrivel and fade, but a crown that will last for eternity. Whether this crown is literal or symbolic, either way, it shows Paul will be a royal person in the life to come. He will rule with Christ. As Paul would write, if we endure with him, Jesus, we shall reign with him. 2 Timothy 2:12. And then Paul says some really encouraging words, because this is really heavy stuff, Paul. So there's a crown for me, says, laid up for me, a righteous crown. It's going to be given to me by the righteous judge on that day. He says this, and not for me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Paul is encouraging us that this crown is not just for him, but for all who love his appearing. Now, that's an interesting word he uses there. The Apostle John uses it too. I want you to look at this passage, or I'll just read it. This is 1 John, the Apostle John. He says this. It's remarkably parallel to what Paul just said. It's not for me only, but for all those who love his appearing. 1 John 2:28, remarkably parallel. John writes this. And now, little children, John uses this word a lot, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him and his coming. The word there, ashamed, is the word we mean shrink back. So, what Paul is saying and John is saying, when he does come, we want to love his appearing. We want to be waiting for it. We want to be finally there's a crown there. We don't want to shrink back like, oh my goodness, he's here. That's what John says. We may be confident in our life that we have fought this fight. We have trained ourselves like the athletes we are taught to do. Will we love his appearing? The question we have to ask ourselves. Paul wants Timothy and all of us to receive the same crown, that same rulership with Christ that he received. We're not competing with one another. Don't take this wrong. We are seeking to endure in the faith and fulfill the ministry God has given us. The more we help each other to do this, the better off we all are at the Bema Seat. The judgment seat. We are not competing with each other. We are here to help each other, to love one another, for one reason only, this day. We want to help each other make it to this day, that when we're on the judgment seat, we hear the news. Well done, sir. You were faithful with a few things. Remember, he doesn't lay burdens on you. Just a few things. We at Curtis are blessed. We have a long legacy here of ministries. And we can do this. We got each other. Let us love one another as we are told, and help each other in the things that matter the most. We all want to hear him say them words. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You see, he died for us. And as my wife once said to me one time, out of 1 Corinthians 12, 1 and 2, he died for us, Lana said. It's the least we can do is present our bodies a living sacrifice. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. And this is where Alana taught me this long time ago, which is your reasonable service to King James. And she says, yes, which is the reason. I never forget. It's the least you can do. It's the least I can do for our beloved Savior. And his beloved people he gave us to comfort us in our trials, to care for us in our anguish, in our all the things we're going through, our struggles in life. And that's just the paper, Paul's charge today. Hopefully this year we can seek that goal more in this distracting world of the confuser, who confuses us all day long, and the accuser of the brethren, who accuses us day and night before the throne of grace. And we have to remember who that devil is. He's not our friend. He has no mercy. It says, Peter describes him as a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour. And Jesus describes him as a wolf that comes to kill, to destroy, and to scatter the sheep. His ultimate goal, you got to remember, folks, is not to take your life. Because he can't. And he knows it. He who believes in me has, present tense, everlasting life. But he's very smart. You see, he was in a position of high authority. He reigned with the Lord too. He covered the Shekinah glory of the Lord. And he knows one thing he wants to do. Pluck that right out of your head. He doesn't want you to hear these words on the judgment seat of Christ. Well done, David, you good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord, and hands you that crown, which is probably symbolic, but can you imagine the people and the angels and the things he's got for us, the praise you're going to hear just for being faithful to him? It's just, you can't describe it, it says in the Bible. No tongue, no eye, no one. I'll leave you with this verse. An overcomer in Revelation. There's a person, this is our overcomer. It's all the same. He says this to one of the churches. He who overcomes, he who trains like an athlete and a boxer, and overcomes the obstacles in this life, and trains his body in submission, beat your members in submission, with fear and trembling, which means before you stand in front of the holy God, I will grant with him to sit with me on my Father's throne. What he says. That's what you want. That's what I want. That's a place we're studying in Hebrews. It's called a partaker of the heavenly calling. It is a person in a position that is in high ranking with the Lord. He is a ruler over many cities in the parable of the means for eternity. Just like the Israel means that. For eternity. Praise God for his word today. The challenges he gives us in the Bible. We got a long road ahead of us. And all we got to do is keep on track like Paul did. And we can say, finally. It's the least we can do. Dear God, thank you for this day. And thank you for the promises we have to store our treasures in heaven, not here on earth. Moths are going to eat them. They're going to rot and they're going to decay away. Help us to set our affections on the things above, not on the things of the earth. These are temporary things. Help us not to bury our gifts and talents in the ground, as your one servant did. And upon your arrival, you called him a lazy and worthless servant. He could at least put your talent in the bank where it could have gained some money. Help us to be like the other servants who said, you're well done, servant. I'm going to make you a ruler over many now. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Enter into the rest of me. Praise God for the words of encouragement. Help us with our lives. Help us with our sorrows. Help us with our griefs. You're the man of sorrows. As we read today, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul. There is nothing that you can't handle. You were tempted with it all, just like us. You overcame it all. You overcame death. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Praise God.